In this series, we'll be talking to a selection of second and third year HE students from Hull College about their upcoming degree show. Hello and welcome to Series 3, Episode 2 of Yada Chat. In this episode, we're going to hear from the second year FD Photography course, FD Fine Art and Graphics. The people involved include Gavin Hoban, Karen Horsfall, Deanna Nyaksu, and graphics lecturer Patrick Glover. We're joined by photography student Gavin Hoban. Hi, Gavin. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to have you here.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell me a bit about yourself.
Well, in a nutshell, in 82, my parents was born in Hull. Parents immigrated to South Africa because of the recession. And while I was there, I really got into photography. Such a beautiful place. But this was on instant cameras. So it was take the photo, send it in to be developed. Then, of course, when mobile phones came out with the cameras, I started using them much more. And I also had a little tour company, so it was really nice to be able to take the photographs on my phone just so that people could see where they'd been and see them in those places. And sometimes I'd use their cameras. But it's always been a passion to take photographs to kind of document the things that have happened in your life.
Yeah. So obviously you were in South Africa and then you came back over to Hull. So what brought you to the college to study photography?
Well, a friend of mine was saying he knew how I liked it and he goes, well, why don't you go to college? And I said, I can't afford it. And he goes, yes, but there's government funding. I said, really? And I was really interested then. And I sent some photos over to the lecturer and they said, yes, they can teach me a lot of technical things on photography. And I thought, well, if I'm accepted, I'll definitely come. And here I am, nearly two years later.
Wow. How have you found the course?
First year, it was amazing. I was like a sponge absorbing all the information. The second year was when I got into street photography and I really enjoyed that and excelled. And now coming to the end, the theory is the thorn in my side, but I'm getting there. Slowly but surely.
Yeah, no, you will. So do you want to tell me about your project in the first year?
Yeah, that was pure fluke. One Hull Forest.
One Hull of a Forest.
Yes, and Andy Steele. Yeah. They were planting trees at Alderman Coogan Primary School and they needed photographers to go and documentary that. So I said yes, and so did my friend Brian. So we went there and we took the photographs and in the end, thanks to Suzanne Miller, we ended up having a lovely exhibition. And I was really surprised that in one first year, we actually had an exhibition.
Where was the exhibition? Was it at the college or was it at the school?
It was going to be at the college and Yada Yada was going to be there as well doing spoken word. Yeah. But because of COVID, everything went pear-shape and we ended up having it at Prospect Gallery.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah, because the plan was, I think there was going to be some sort of an installation.
Yeah.
By all accounts, that was a really good exhibition.
Yes, it was.
And especially in the first year, like, I mean, I remember me in my first year. I mean, I think with the fine art, they're very keen on getting you to try loads of different types and styles. And so there was like quite a lot that I found that I wasn't good at. But it was in the second year where that freedom, and second and third year, that freedom came in and I was able to just really go for it.
You've got me on a point because my second year was when I got into street photography. Mm-hmm. I'd done the architecture and I enjoyed that. When I went for my jab, I went for a walk from KCOM and then back taking photographs and then all had to do all the research on the history of the beautiful buildings I'd taken photographs of. And then it was what we're going to do next. I said, well, street photography sounds really interesting. Yeah. Getting out in the fresh air after being locked up for so long through COVID, it was a dream come true and be taking photographs.
Yeah,
I found out that I kind of had a knack for taking photographs of the interesting people. And that is what you always want in street photography, is interesting characters. And if you can catch them and portray them in their natural state. And the nice thing is sometimes they don't even know. But if you've got the guts, once you've taken it and they sat down, to go up and show it to them and go, oh, wow, that's lovely. Could you send it to me?
Yeah. Another connection, networking.
Yeah, networking and connecting with the community, which was really nice. But you must remember that I did street photography at the beginning of this year. And then I was introduced to what's called ICM, which is intentional camera movement.
Oh.
So as you're taking the photograph, you do it over, if you're doing it free by hand, it's about a second and a half. If you're doing it on a tripod, 2 seconds. And then you actually move the camera as you're taking a photograph. And if you do it correctly, it can look like an oil painting. And then you can go further by adding grain or a little bit of desaturation just to make it more interesting.
Yeah.
And my end project is titled Subconsciously Conscious. So I've actually got 2 photographs. The front one is the ICM. The back one is a sharp photograph.
Yeah.
I layer them together and certain parts I will actually take out so you can see it sharp through the ICM.
Oh, wow. There's a fair bit of, like, post-production as well then included.
Yes, yes. Well, it brought out my creative side that I never knew I had. So it's been really good.
That's great. And so the theme, it's on street photography.
It's street photography combined with ICM.
And so it's full of Hull locations and Hull people and other areas that you've photographed?
Well, we did go to London and I have a couple of ICMs and from there. The only problem is the Londoners, they'll walk right in front of the camera. I have got a few, but I think it will be more the whole photographs of the marina and of town that I will be using in my exhibition.
So how are you going to be exhibiting them in terms of printing, and have you thought about size?
We're going to be doing it in a non-traditional way, which is a little bit chaotic. This came up after doing our research in the studio. So we thought this would be an interesting way to portray it. So it will be showing some of my beginning ICM and street going right the way through to my final piece.
Wow.
And I think there will be one big piece, which will be my main one, and then possibly smaller ones around it to show the working up to the final project.
Yeah. Whereabouts will your exhibition be located?
Downstairs.
Downstairs in the Broderick Gallery.
That's correct.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh, nice. I love that space. It's, like, it's
amazing.
Really, it's a really lovely area to exhibit, and there's a lot of
walk through.
A lot of traffic, isn't there, of people sort of being able to look at your work. Which is nice.
We also had the Hull International Brigade exhibition there as well. I had a couple of posters. We basically get the photographs, print them out, cut them to how we wanted it, put them on a piece of paper, and then working like that. But it was a lot of fun. It was something that I never thought I would have done. We also did a 3D project as well, which was a big box representation of the orange box of the Civil War.
Mm.
And then we would fill it with soil, mix that with PVC glue. So we'd put a footprint in it. And we'd also had time, because apparently when they were going on the soldiers were going on the walks, they'd be walking through fields of time. And when they came back, that smell of time would take it back to the memories. And we'd also had spent shell casings. I engraved all the names around all the people that had gone over from England, because they weren't supposed to go over through government, but they still went over. There was 9 men and 1 lady. And we got a Dremel from the woodwork department, and they let me use a Dremel because I had used one before.
Mm.
So I actually used that to actually etch the writing of the names on, and we tried to put them. There was 2 friends that went over together, and I actually put them on the same side. So it was around the statue, if you know about the monument in Hull. It's only a small one, and when the rain comes down, it turns to rust, the metal, and that gives a look of blood as it's coming down the white.
Ah. Mm. I love multimedia, you know, when different mediums and different courses and all come together and sort of collaborate and produce something. It's really exciting.
But we did some ceramic. And we're actually putting some photos onto there in the next few days, hopefully.
What, so photos so, onto ceramic?
So we made the ceramic and we glazed it. We had to invert the photographs, so it looked more like a negative, making sure it was as dark as possible, black and white. Mine was a little bit of grey. And then we will basically get that put onto a screen, and then we will put that onto the ceramic.
And will that be included with the degree show?
I really don't know about that. I don't know if it will be in the degree show, but it will definitely be in the ICM and Street.
That all sounds really exciting. And like I said before, I'm really looking forward to seeing you work in the Broderick Gallery.
I will say the one thing about the course is it's really interesting. The lecturers are very helpful and you get to expand your knowledge, try different things that otherwise you would never have tried, like the ceramics. I never thought I would have been playing with clay and making a ceramic ornament. Nice present for the mother.
Yeah, definitely. That's one theme that has followed throughout these interviews we've been doing. And it's that, you know, no matter what course you're on, if you have an interest in something, you can try it out. You can experiment with different mediums and, you know, say you're on photography, you can do ceramics, or say if you're, you know, in fine art, you can go to the woodworks, you know, and do all sorts of photography, film, performance.
Yeah.
And that's one of the great benefits, I think, of the college.
Mm. Yes. I mean, early on this year, when they had the Jekyll and Hyde Theatre, they asked me to take photos of them, so I took photos of that show. They had a ballet school, and we went there and we took photos of them while they were training and that. So it was you get to chance to do a lot of different things, and that is it helps you to grow in your projects that you're doing, and that is really nice.
Well, thank you so much, Gavin, for joining me today and for talking to me about your work and your time at the college. And it's been lovely chatting to you.
Absolute pleasure. And thank you very much for the invite, and hope you have a lovely day.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
We're joined now by Karen Horsfall and Deanna Nyakshu, who are both FD Fine Art students. Thanks so much for joining today.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Hi, hello, thank you for inviting us.
So tell me, what brought you to the college? Deanna, I'll start with you. What made you decide to join the Fine Art course?
I always had a passion for the art, and I find a great opportunity to come and join a fine art course. And yeah, I like the thing that you are not limited. Fine art somehow is giving you the possibility to choose. You can combine photography with filmmaking. Yeah. You can combine digital art with like a fine art. And it's just a great, great field just to explore your ideas and just to realize them.
Well, I was saying this earlier with the photography student. There's also, you know, the ceramics, you know, performance, like whatever it is that you're interested in, you want to include in your project, you can. And that's what's really great about the course, I think. So, Karen, what about you? What brought you to the college?
Basically, very similar, really. I've always had a passion for art ever since I can ever remember. I've always made some things, and even like for people's gifts and things like that, I've always made. So, because I'm a mature student, my family's grown up, and it's like a time that I could really concentrate and do something that I really wanted to do. So that's kind of why I just thought, oh, I'm going to give it a go, and I'm really loving it.
Oh, no, that's great. So what's your focus? Has it been the same throughout the course?
No, I've totally changed. I started here principally being drawing and things like that, but I've changed to ceramics now and kind of really exploring, because the world is your oyster here. Yeah. You can actually experiment in any kind of media form that you want, really. So I am learning a lot, really.
It's funny that we were just talking about ceramics, and then you straight in, like, actually, I'm doing ceramics. It's great.
So for me personally, I'm trying to make objects that are personal to myself. So at the minute, I'm concentrating on making an old leather bag, trying to recreate that in ceramic. And I've made a Doc Martens shoe. And then I also take them out and about into Hull, taking photographs of them as if they've just been found. Yeah. You just left them found and trying to get like a reaction from people. Like,
yeah.
So that's where I'm kind of twofold, really, the making of it and then taking the photography.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, you sold me completely when you said docs, because I'm like a massive Doc Martin fan.
And what was great, the actual Doc Martin store in Hull allowed me to take my shoe and put it on the stand. So I've got some really great photos of him actually being in situ, kind of.
Yeah.
Those photos are real great, yeah.
How was that? Could you tell the difference of like which...
Well, because I modelled it on my own kind of shoe, because I only take a size 3, so they look really miniature. Because the ones on the stand, the other shoe was a size 8.
Yeah.
So it looks like a miniature version, really. But it is pretty good. In some situations, it's hard to tell, but in others, you could possibly tell. Mm.
Cool. Diana, do you want to tell us about your practice and what you do on the course?
Yes, I'm exploring the field of art and technology, and all my research is based on art technology, art and interaction, because we're living in the era of the digital revolution that has a massive impact on everything, and this includes art and art history. And regards to technologies accessible now, in nowadays, the art is also being made more accessible in everyday life. I'll gonna bring some examples. Like, since the beginning of the time, technology has provided artists with the new ways of expressing themselves. Like, let's think, what would be the impressionist today without the portable paint tubes that enables them to paint outdoors? Or would we even know of Andy Warhol without the screen printing? Even, for example, this podcast, if the technology won't exist, you won't have this possibility to share the experience, to share the great thing that you are doing. Yeah. You won't have a possibility to share like our experience and promote ourselves. Yeah, I'm going on this path because I really find it exciting, like to see how the technology is letting you to create new pieces of art, and how a piece of technology can force you to see the same artwork, but looking from a different angle.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So are you combining technology with your art? What sort of work are you creating from that?
So for my art degree show, I'm choosing interactive installation, which is a sound reactive real-time performance on piano.
Wow.
So, yeah. So in simple words, I'll just explain what an interactive installation means. So basically, they are installations that immerse the audience in a new experience. And in my case, the type of interactive installation, it's a live performance on piano. And basically how it works, you're sitting on the piano and doesn't matter, do you have a piano skills or you don't have one, you're just basically sitting there, and when you're playing the piano, the animations will start to react to your sound, and this will result in a unique visual appearance. So basically it can be related to colors, to the geometric figures, doesn't matter. It's a large range of the things that they can be displayed on the monitor. And I'm working on that one now.
I won't go into like the details of how that works, because I feel like that might be quite a complicated answer, I'm sure, but... Will the audience, so they'll be able to sit at the piano and press the keys?
Basically, basically you'll have the piano, you'll have a TV in front of you, because the audience doesn't have to know what is happening in the background, because we'll have some pieces of technology.
Yeah, we'll just have a sign that says, play me or something.
Something like this. And even if you don't know how to play, if you'll press a keyboard, because now what I have ready, it's I was working with colors a lot. So basically it will appear a different color all the time when you are pressing the key on the piano. And for example, if you're pressing longer, it will be more color on the display. If you're pressing only a little bit, it will be only a small amount of color on the screen.
Wow. Will you be recording that or keeping a video of what's played? Even after the degree show, like with all that, all sorts could be made from that.
Yeah, like an after movie, because I am planning, to be honest, to record people and record like the outcome, like the finished product, because it will be a great opportunity and a great chance to promote the video for the next year, and maybe to get involved more artists. You never know what it can happen.
Well, I think I've said this like a lot throughout all of like my podcasts, but especially, you know, coming out of lockdown and how confined everything was, you know, we're all on our own working at home and unable to go out and collaborate and meet people. And something like this, like really interactive, and it's nice bringing people together, I think.
Yeah, and one important key moment in this interactive installation, just for the audience, the real-time performance, it will be only at the opening dates, because this means that somebody, me, I have to be all the time there in order to let this interactive installation happen. But what it will be during the whole time that the exhibition will be displayed off, there is a collaboration between the music faculty and the fine art, and I'll have some music from the from the music faculty, and in time on the TV there will be displayed some animations that they'll be reacting to the music created by the music students. So basically it's a small collaboration, but if there will be, for example, a group of minimum 5 people that they'll be willing to come and play on the piano, I'll happy come to the college and I'll organize that for them.
That's awesome. I think, well, all of it, I mean, both your projects sound really exciting. So just like the third years as well, as they have branded their show launch, you've also called your show Blueprint. Could you tell me about like where that name came from and the branding and all that?
Yes, so we were looking in the first year at an artist called Yves Klein, who invented his own colour blue, international blue.
Yeah.
So he also, after he invented this colour, imprinted it, like painted people's bodies and made imprints with them. So we thought that that would be a way to kind of us all kind of contribute to one image, because we're all different artists basically. So there's some mixed media, some painters, some drawers, some printmakers, some people who work in ceramics. So it would be a way that we could all come together in one image with a part of us body that we kind of, we've just painted the blue. So realistically, that's where we came up with that name. And also the blueprint of the whole college, we've kind of used that as well in a little few kind of as works as well. So that's where we kind of got that idea from, really. We stole it from another artist. Or should I say reappropriated it?
Reappropriated, that's the word.
That's what we did.
No, that's cool. I like that sort of, it's referencing the whole fact of, you know, collaboration and people together, and like how it's nice how that title and the logo and the poster, you know, it has like a bit of all of you on it, really. I mean, it's handprints, isn't it, predominantly?
Handprint. Any part of, like, mine's my leg.
Really?
Diana's is an ear, so she's done an ear. There's quite a few people done a foot, like, whichever part of the body you wanted to do, basically, you could. So it's kind of a bit of us all kind of making up one person.
Oh, I didn't realise that. I'm going to have to, like, go back and sort of, like, look at the poster like really closely, because I picked out the handprints before, because I know that there's like one or two. I'm gonna look now.
Well, as you know, it's really difficult to come up with a name in the, like, we've got loads of ideas for the third year, but because we're like thrown into it thinking, what are you gonna call it, like we had some really crazy names come up, but it's very difficult to brand yourself. So that's why we just stuck to that name, really.
Yeah, to be honest, I have prints with like nearly all the decent body parts. And honestly, it was a fun experiment, because on the bathroom downstairs, I just took around all the white papers with that blue paint. And honestly, I needed like half an hour just to wash off my ear. And then when I went in the bathtub, I just left some footprints. And after washing like my legs, then I had to wash like half an hour to my bathtub. So, but anyway, overall, it was a fun experience. And we enjoyed it.
So did you do the painting of the body at the college or at home?
No, at home. Mine,
I was going to say, like, did you come into college and like paint your ear and then get on the bus and go home?
I did mine in college. I went over the blue leg. Went over the blue leg. I think, but quite a few people did it in college, really.
So how are you both finding the course, Karen?
Yep, I can say I'm really enjoying it. Every kind of aspect of it, I really like. Even the theory, which people are, ooh, I don't like the theory. I'm just throwing myself into it. I think if you're going to put the work in, you get so much out of it, basically. Everyone's real nice. You can approachable. It's not like learning in a traditional, it's 40 years since I went to school, basically. So it's not really like, where you think, oh, I didn't ask a question. Everyone's real friendly. It's more like if you've got anything, you go ask, is this possible? And they always say yes. And if it's not, we'll figure it out how you can do it. Yeah. So it's real great for that.
Yeah, I agree with Karen. And I like that you have that freedom. You have the power to choose what you want to do. You are not limited to certain things. And like Karen mentioned, if we have an idea, it can be the craziest one. There will always be people who are going to lead you in the right direction, who are going to give you advices. Also, we have a lot of facilities around that we can use, like printmaking, like photography, all the studios. We have a 3D printing, anything that you can imagine or, I don't know, you want to realize, it is possible if you are speaking and if you are asking. Because if you are not asking, if you are not talking, you are not finding the answers.
So are you both, well, it's not far away now. How are you both feeling about it? Are you excited? Are you nervous?
For me, it feels like I'm planning a wedding. It's got that kind of level of nervousness and excitement at the same time. It's that kind of feeling where it's all, but I think we're kind of running on adrenaline at the minute.
Yeah,
like the both feelings and excitement and nervous about, even had some moments when, because I'm worried with the process, with how all the technology will work together, because apart from the creation part, there is like technology part. And I had the days when I was thinking like, Diana, why you haven't choose something easy, a print, a drawing, something, and just finish with that? But no, then I'm finding the power, and I'm saying to myself that I'm going in the right direction, and I'll be like calm and with peace in mind when like everything will be inhibited. Until now, I'll be worried and I'll have those kind of emotions.
Well, I mean, by the sounds of it, I think you're both definitely on the right path. And the scariest bit is when they start taking down the studio space and rebuilding it back up, because that's, you're looking at your watch thinking, oh my God. But it's like that every year. I mean, I've been here for like 5 years now, I think. So people, you know, it pulls together. The only tricky bit is setting up when, like, because I think, are we about to have like a heat wave or something?
Yes.
And those glass roofs, you know. Oof. Did you want to like tell me maybe about some of the other students on the course? You could maybe talk about some of the projects.
In the general lines, what can I say is that our exhibition will feature a mixture of traditional and modern art. You'll be able to excite your senses with multimedia art and interactive installation and reveal in the creativity of paintings, prints and sculptures. So basically, there are only 7 of us, but everybody is having a project in a different field, in a different direction. So it should be something excited and interesting.
Yeah.
For everybody who is listening, we're inviting you.
Yeah, you're all invited to this year's degree show on the 1st of June. And as well, it'll all be upstairs in the studio space of Hull College. And your exhibition is alongside the third years as well. So it'll be nice to see both years work up, you know, proudly, like side by side of each other.
Yeah, to be honest, we are lucky that we'll have two days. It will be 1st of June, and who is not managing to come at the 1st of June will be there at 9th of June.
Well, I wanted to say thank you, both of you, for coming today and for chatting. And this is my first duo interview in the podcast suite.
With a new aunt and deck.
I know. Well, I was going to say that. I think we've found like a good combo here. All right. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
We're joined now by Patrick Glover, who is the programme leader on the graphics course. Hi, Pat. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Alice. Thanks for having me.
So we'll get straight into it. Would you like to tell us a bit about the course?
Yeah, of course. Well, as you say, I work with the Level 6 BDES Honours Top-Up, which is a relatively new course. We wrote it last year, so last year was the first year it ran. This is the second. And I also work with other lecturers, Eric and Ailey, on the FD graphics and illustration course, which is level 4 and 5. Mm. One of the things that's unique about the FD is that in the second semester, level five, which is, of course, the year that they have the chance to exhibit as part of the show, in the second semester, they can choose a pathway. They can go completely towards illustration. They can go completely towards graphic design. Or in actual fact, this year, we mixed it up a little bit so they could do two modules for one and maybe one for another. So that's quite unusual. Not many courses, not many FDs do that, according to our external examiner. And that's been broadly successful. So we get quite a variety of practitioners, a variety of skills. The BDES, as I said, the level six is a new course. And so far, so good. The emphasis really on changing it from the BA honours to a BDES honours was...
What is a BDES?
A BDES is a Bachelor of Design. You could say it's vocationally focused. Mm. A good example would be on the BA, the students would do a dissertation in their final year of maybe 5,000 to 7,000 words. On the BDES, they do a dissertation or a study area. It's 3,000 words, which is obviously a fair bit shorter, but they have to put it into a design outcome. So they can create a magazine, a book, a fold-out leaflet, a website, a blog. They put it into a context that is then part of their portfolio.
Oh, nice.
Because I think there's a feeling with a lot of dissertations previously, they're done in Word, they're handed in, They're never looked at again, and they don't share them necessarily with potential employers because, you know, other than what the subject is, there's nothing visually to take in.
Yeah.
Whereas this way, there is a design element that's really important, and we also do a presentation as well, so they have to distill that down into a presentation format. Yeah, it's a good program, vibrant. We've got some great students, so looking forward to seeing the show.
That's really great about the illustration and the graphics, because that's something that's come up quite a few times in this podcast about how, you know, if you've got an interest in something, we've found a way to sort of incorporate our interests, like, you know, like photography, some of them have been getting in with ceramics.
Yeah.
Ceramics has been really popular so far in this episode.
Collaboration is key, and that's something we've really pushed and really successfully this year. There's been some great collaborations. Our FDs of level fives have collaborated with photography level fives on the International Brigades exhibition that was on in the Broderick. We've also run a project with Violet Newman's help, who's curating the Broderick now, of rebranding and repositioning the Broderick. And that's been a collaborative element. There's a creative collaboration module in semester one of the BDES, which is literally they have to collaborate with somebody, something or someone. And it's key. It's industry. For industry, it's completely appropriate.
Yeah, no. But would you be able to tell us a bit about what the students have been looking into this year?
Yeah, I can. I mean, I think that it's worth mentioning first that, you know, that for many of our students, the last couple of years have been really challenging. Mm. We're still coming out of the pandemic, I guess. But that thrust us into an online world that we had to adapt to very quickly. That year group did really well, coped with it. I think in some ways, we suffered a little bit of a hangover from that sort of adjustment back to being on campus or being in between. Students feeling that they can work at home and maybe they should work at home if they feel anxious about coming in. It's a new normal and we're feeling our way with it. But broadly, I think it's been a positive experience. They've reacted to these challenges with resilience and creative agility, I think, and becoming really confident practitioners. Yeah. And I expect the level fives to progress to level six and go from strength to strength. Mm. What's been pleasing for me is you mentioned how there's a lot of choice in the way and they want to focus their projects and what they want to work on.
Yeah.
And level five, especially semester two, but more broadly at level six, there's quite a lot of self-negotiated briefs where they can literally decide what they, with our help, obviously, what they want to work on. And that's created some really personal, powerful design work, I think. If I can mention one of our level six learners, Katie Clark, for her design research and communication module, which is essentially the dissertation, she decided to name hers Equality, I Hardly Know Her, which was all about the search for equality in the design industry and lack of it thereof. And she's reached out to practitioners, some really, really quite high profile female practitioners in graphic design and branding. Great responses. It's almost like they just all wanted to get stuff off their chest, and she just did a great job, and she packaged it. I said that, you know, they were encouraged to put it into a design format. Mm. The thing that kept coming up with a particular practitioner she spoke to was this paternity and maternity leave, taking time out, family, struggling to reclaim your position in the design industry, being patronised perhaps because employers might think, well, she might want to have kids and disappear for 3 or 4 years or whatever it might be, 3 or 4 months. And she put that together in the form of a pastiche, of a contraceptive pill packaging. Did a fantastic job of it.
Wow.
And it looks amazing.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a central part of her degree show. She also carried, she's quite an unusual project. She's a massive Harry Potter fan. And she wanted to do repackage the entire Harry Potter range, but she didn't want to include the author's name because of some of the comments that J.K. Rowling had made about the trans community. Her whole ethos for her project was to invite those people that felt disenfranchised by what J.K. Rowling had said.
Mm.
It's a hypothetical project. Whether you could publish books without the author's name is tenuous, but it doesn't really matter because creatively she's responded to that brief.
Yeah.
And she identified things like that Bloomsbury, the publishers, their values is all about inclusivity. She identified that there's this kind of clash between what the author is saying and what her publishers are saying.
Mm.
And she's kind of worked in that space and created some amazing work.
Wow.
I'll talk about another Al Gordon, the Level 6 student, talking about collaboration and art direction. He reached out. His sister runs a kind of kids martial arts and mindfulness group in Canada, in Vancouver.
Wow.
He reached out to her and basically rebranded it, rebranded the whole thing. And the sort of the process he went through was really, really detailed and liaising. He documented all the liaison with her, all these email conversations about possible creative directions. That's advanced stuff, you know, industry level. He's also created a kind of book in celebration of, do you know what Inktober is?
No.
It's an online kind of forum that this guy, he sets, there's a theme for every day in October, and he asks people to contribute illustrations and post them with the hashtag Inktober.
Oh.
And he's created a book around it.
Yeah.
And basically he's created all these 31-ish drawings and a story to go with it. Either himself or he's commissioned colleagues, peers, friends to either write or illustrate something. So he's kind of in the role of creative director and art director publisher, as well as designer and publisher.
Wow.
And this morning, actually, they presented that idea to a couple of industry practitioners as part of their designer FMP module they have to, which is, runs over 2 semesters. It's a 40-credit module. They have to present a distilled version of what they've done, why they've done it, what they've learned, and where it might take them. One of our practitioners this morning was a lady called Florence Hanneth, who works for Partnership Publishing in North Lincolnshire. And she just was blown away by it. She thought it was amazing. Oh. She saw that. She saw Al's project. And she saw Katie's Harry Potter books.
Yeah.
Right down her street, which is kind of why we asked her.
Yeah.
But she was really excited about them. So it's great to get that input as well from industry.
Yeah, I bet. Oh, that sounds really good. And I love all the collaboration that's going on.
Brilliant. And this will appear in the degree show.
Yeah. You know. Well, so leading on to the degree show, like, what should we expect to see?
Well, we're sharing the space that is basically the Broderick Gallery.
Mm.
We're sharing it with photography. We work quite closely, as I said, with the photography BA anyway and the FD. And they've got a couple of areas they want to use that are quite sort of site-specific, which is great, which has left us to divide up the rest of the space, really.
Yeah.
So students will be mounting printed work on the boards, on the, you know, the walls, as it were. But they'll also have the opportunity, they'll all have an iMac display with a scrolling portfolio kind of movie that basically showcases all the work, or as much work as they want to show. But physically, there'll be stuff there as well. I mean, one of Al's projects from Level 5 was the book Invisible Cities. I can't remember the author. It's Italian. It was a typographic design ISTD student competition. And he just produces amazing, like a map of Venice and typeset every chapter into a section of Venice.
Oh, wow.
So when you see it, you can see it's Venice.
Yeah.
But you can actually read the book at the same time. It's quite incredible.
Yeah.
And it's about, I don't know, it's probably a metre metre and a half squared or something like that when it's folded out. And that's going to be on the wall as well. So there'll be that sort of physical stuff as well as digital stuff to look at. So it should be great. It should be great.
Yeah, I bet. That sort of, I mean, it loosely, it reminds me a bit of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
When they have the map and sort of, basically like they map the whole journey of like.
That's right.
You know, I might have a map.
Everyone needs a map.
Yeah. Of Middle-earth.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how it started, that idea of an OS map. Could you have a chapter on each page and could it fold out? And if it fold, what do you see? Is it a map of Venice? And you basically combined it and put the book in, because the book is set in Venice.
Yeah.
You don't realise it till the end, but every chapter is a different part of Venice. Mm. And that's what he did. Just perfect response. Wow. Unfortunately, I think we were a little bit late for the submission deadline for the competition, because I think he would have had a real chance of winning.
Well, something like that, I mean, can...
You could do it next year. Let's hope for the same brief. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, possibly. But, you know, he's pretty. We're pretty good at spreading the word on social media platforms. You know, there's usually we have the graphics and illustration Instagram site. When the show launches, we put a load of work up as well that relates to the show and relates to the practitioners, the students, as they graduate. So hopefully there'll be opportunities for people to experience it.
So will the the Harry Potter books and like those projects, will they be displayed?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, great. So absolutely. Everything will be there.
Yeah, I mean, mostly it will be the level 6. Well, it'll be level 6 and level 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be a real mixture of stuff.
Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing it. It's like, so the graphics, photography and fashion, I think, is on the 9th of June.
It is.
Yeah.
Thursday the 9th is the private view.
Yeah.
Which isn't really private, but it's kind of, it's the opening night, which is great. Yeah, it's good. It's a celebration.
Yeah, no, completely.
You know, they'll invite their families, friends, partners. We'll also invite as many industry contacts as we possibly can, because it's a great showcase for their talents. And their next stage is, you know, it's exciting to develop, see them develop and see them sort of out into the, not the real world, but the working world.
Yeah. So, Pat, I was wondering if you maybe have, if there's a message in particular that you want to give to your graduating students.
Yeah, I would just say congratulations to all of you. I know it hasn't been an easy year, or last 2 years in some ways, for obvious reasons, but you've really earned it. The work speaks for itself, and it's been an absolute honour and a pleasure to work with you all and see you develop your confidence, your skill set, and your abilities. And I really look forward to seeing what they do in the coming years and then getting them back to talk to students.
Yeah, as an alumni.
Yeah. Pull them in, pull them back. But that's what I'd like to say.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah. Thanks, Pat. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me, Alice. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Series 3 of Yadda Chat. You can find out more about this podcast and platform through visiting our website at www.yadda-yadda-noise.com. You can also follow our social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all at Yadda Yadda Noise.
Yadda.